When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is key ratios for a quick property analysis. But before we get started, I'd just like to touch base with you guys and see how you're all doing. It has been a crazy season, but it's just really good. I'm hearing from you guys, and I just thank you so much, those that have been sending in some letters, and I'm going to start reading some of these on the air when we get a chance, and folks that are doing really great, moving forward, and not getting discouraged by a lot of the stuff going on out there. But I'll tell you, it's definitely been interesting, and I'm hearing just great stories about people that are just still closing on properties, still getting great mortgage rates, amazing mortgage rates, and even moving into multifamily. Just a lot of activity going on there too. We've been doing some real good on our projects that we've been working on as well. So in both the syndication side and my personal holdings too. So I'm feeling good about it. I am using a lot of the time right now to focus in on optimizing properties and doing things along those lines, just as we kind of wait and see what's happening in the economy. But I think those of you that have been bold and going out there and just knuckling under and getting the good deals. I think there will be a lot more deals coming. So this is definitely a time to be investing. Well, I just wanted to jump in with our tip of the week here before we get started. And, you know, this is one of those areas that I think is really important that I just don't mention enough. And that is, you know, we're real estate investors. And some people just kind of look at it as, well, this is just something in my investment portfolio, just something on this side that I do. But I realize that, especially in the number of people that I've interviewed and just in personal experience, that the people that seem to do the best, I mean, the people that are actually able to leverage their real estate investments into wealth tend to be those folks that treat it like a business, and they take it very seriously, and they treat it like you would any kind of business. And I think that that's an important factor, because real estate investing, it really is a business. I mean, you're generating profit. You're doing things to generate a specific profit and to utilize that profit to hopefully invest in other projects and other things. And so my recommendation is, if you haven't really thought of it this way, maybe you just take some time to consider, how can I make this more like a business? And like every other business, it requires purposeful planning, execution, and management. And you need to treat it like that, if you put as much into it as you would any kind of business, that I think you would see that wealth side start emerging out of the dust here, because that's really what a lot of the people that are making it. You know, it can also just be something on the side that you're just, you know, you're just getting a couple extra hundred, couple, maybe even a couple extra thousand each month from your activities. But if you really want to leverage it into something that will be a legacy for your family, you really, you know, should get that mindset, that business mindset. The most successful businesses are run by high quality people at every level of an organization. Those that kind of ignore this fact are destined to struggle or even fail. Regardless of how big or small you want to grow your real estate investing business, if you want to succeed, then you really need to run it like a business. And I think that's something today is a tip, hopefully, that you can take home with you, and it'll help affect your efforts on behalf of your investing. Well, let's jump into today's topic, key ratios for a quick property analysis. When I say quick, I'm saying, you know, there are a lot of different ratios, and I've talked about those in other podcasts. I'm going to zero in really only on those key ratios for an analysis of a property that allows you to, you know, make a decision if this is a no-go or something worth pursuing. There are just certain numbers that you will encounter in the earliest stages that will help you make that determination. This is a numbers business, and if you don't like numbers, you got to learn to love them, because if you're going to keep doing it, you've got to, you know, got to crunch the numbers, got to be a part of your real estate investing day, is analyzing numbers, looking at the numbers for your existing properties, to constantly be evaluating, reevaluating, looking for ways to be able to increase that bottom line, to reduce expenses, increase income. And so this is the sort of the focus here, is a quick way. You know, when I'm on a roll, I can look at sometimes 50 different properties in a day. I don't know if you've been to our website or not, but if you have, you'll see that there is a little pop-up that comes up there. And also it's in our resources section. It's called the 3-Minute Rental Property Analyzer. It's meant to be that tool that you can use really quickly, just to, as you're looking at a bunch of properties, you're pulling the key numbers you want, you throw them into this form, and it populates an Excel spreadsheet. And with that, you can go through and sort these and come up with the numbers that you're looking for a good property. And sometimes you can go through all 50 and not get any good numbers, but it is a good way to be able to sift through it. Sometimes you're not going to have that analyzer in front of you too, and you want to be able to do this. So I'm going to try to give you those factors that you can use. You can literally write it on a napkin and do a quick calculation on a property. You know, one of the biggest questions I'm asked is, you know, how do you go about looking at, what do I do? What do I look at? How do you know if that property is the one? And there's several things I do, and I look at any new potential property, but the most important is just getting those numbers down. The numbers talk a lot about the property. They don't always talk a lot about the market. And the market is really, really important, because in real estate, we know location, location, location is very important. And you do need to buy in the right place too. But the numbers for that actual property are key. And they do take into factor some market factors and cap rate and things like this. But you really need to take a look at that. So you got to save yourself some time before you do anything else. Run the numbers and see if they work. And if they don't, awesome. You didn't waste a lot of time, and you can go on to, you know, look at other properties that might have that potential. What should any investor care most about? Now, we talk about on this show, and we close out every show saying cash flow is king. So cash flow is our most important, okay? And that is income and expenses. And it's very simple. people make running the numbers out to be so complicated sometimes, and it's really no wonder that a lot of people aren't involved in real estate because they think it's, you know, it's just, it's too much. There's too much calculation involved. And actually, these are very simple calculations. And like I said, these are things that you can just work out on a napkin if you want to. The fact is that the numbers can be done. It's like one of the easiest parts of sort of shopping for a property. You know, predicting appreciation may be easier for you than estimating cash flow, some people feel. But really, cash flow is a fairly easy one to figure out. So first off, let's look at some of the key factors, the numbers you're looking for. First off, figure out the monthly income, otherwise known as your gross income. This will be the rent, you know, and it may have other factors in there. It could be laundry, maybe you have coin-operated laundry, and you can, you know, factor that in. Maybe you'd be paying for storage space or other factors, but it's whatever that gross income number is. And if you're looking at a property, let's say you don't have a lot of experience in that area, yeah, you need to talk to people to make sure that the rent that you're calculating is the right rent that for that market. And sometimes you can talk to a local broker, agent, a local property manager that might have a good idea on what market rents are. So if you're buying a property and they say that the rent should be this, well, you know, you need to look at the market and determine what it actually should be. Next thing is calculate the monthly expenses. There can be a lot of different expenses, but yeah, I think the major ones here are your property taxes, your insurance, property management fee, mortgage payment, or any other kind of financing you have. If there's an HOA, and I'll say right up front, if it has an HOA, I generally just walk away from those because it's one of those variables that you don't control. And there are people in associations that can double, triple those numbers on you and just totally rob you of your cash flow. So if you can avoid HOA fees, I would do it. I'm just mentioning it here just in case you're one of those that's already in that position where you're kind of already in the HOA. So you're just you're dealing with those. And the other two are vacancy and repairs. And those are really important. You don't want to forget those because they're a realistic factor. Now, and again, I'm calculating this on a single family home, which is a little bit different. Generally, on single-family homes, the tenant is taking care of the lawn and a lot of other factors there. They handle all the utilities. They pay for themselves and so forth. So you're not factoring those things in. So I'm trying to make a simple example here, although I'm not pursuing single-family homes. Some of you may be, and that might be part of your mix there. But I think those are at least some of the key ones that you have to look at in terms of the monthly expenses. Trash, sometimes they charge for trash, sometimes there's sewer. You know, those things should all be paid for by the tenant for the most part. Okay, so generally, you know, the property taxes, you can find out a lot of times just by looking on Zillow or looking on realtor.com, and you'll take that number and you're going to divide it by 12, okay? So you're going to get a monthly, you know, to divide up that the property tax payment by a month. Insurance, you will have to get a quote from an insurance provider or your insurance broker. Property management fee, usually 10%. Sometimes you can negotiate a better rate. Some people get stuck with more, but I think 10% is a good average. And then the mortgage, you can use online mortgage calculators to come up with what your mortgage payment will be. Also, the vacancy, I conservatively would use like 10% if it's a, you know, good property in a good area. But sometimes you're going to be in a higher risk area, and you know, it may even, you may want, you know, you may go higher, but I would say generally 10% is pretty safe. Repairs, again, an estimate should not be left out of this. This is an important one because vacancies do happen and you never know when they're going to happen. Depends on the property. If it's a newer property, if it's A or B property, you know, I would probably look at 5%. or if it's recently rehabbed, maybe a turnkey property or what have you, I'd say around 5%. If it's an older property and it may not be in the best of shape, you could go up to 25%. So, again, I would err on the side of being conservative here. But use your judgment on deciding what percentage will make most sense for you. And then all you basically do is you add up the monthly expenses and subtract them from the monthly rent or income. And this will give you your monthly cash flow. You know, yay, it's really easy, and hopefully it's a positive number so you can move on here. And then you start calculating the returns. The two numbers that I want to see in a property are usually the cap rate and cash on cash return. With cap rate, it gives you an idea if you're buying a good deal. It basically compares the return on investment, the ROI, to the purchase price. So a cap rate equation would be net annual income divided by the purchase price, and then you come up with your cap rate. For that calculation, I don't include the mortgage payment for that. The lowest cap rate I would ever even consider for a property would be, let's say, 6%. That would be, I'd probably say, in a commercial, more of a commercial residence, commercial or residential there. For a, you know, a single family home, you know, ideally you might shoot for like, you know, 8% or something. Generally, anything over 8%, you're doing really well. Cash on cash return, this number is how much return you are getting on the money you invest. So it's a sort of a one-shot ratio that kind of tells you if you're, you know, you've got a good investment going there. If you pay all cash for a property, this number will be the same as the cap rate. If you're financing, this number is the most accurate way to see the actual return you're getting on your cash in and the leverage. Here's the equation for that. It's a net annual income divided by total cash invested. And that'll equal your cash on cash return. You know, understand the difference. A cap rate is a measure of how good a deal is, okay? And cash on cash tells you the exact return on your money that you're getting. So they are not the same, but they do measure important factors that you want to know about. And if you compare the cash on cash return of an all cash buy versus a financed buy, you may quickly see the benefits of leveraging. You know, by not pouring all your money into a property, you can see that what kind of a return you can still get and be able to have cash to invest in other properties. So it's a way, you know, to get more bang for your buck here. So let's just, you know, let's take a real life example and actually, you know, I'll pretend like you have your napkin in front of you and you're going to write these things down. But the purchase price for this property would be $94,500. Okay. Cash to close, so it's your down payment and closing cash, $23,900. Okay. And your monthly rent is $1,325. And now, some of you guys that already know the 1% rule are going, wow, this is already over 1%. I can see here, because the 1% rule is that you look at the purchase price and the rent, and you look at what percentage that is of that rent, and you're going to see, well, it's over to, you know, 1%. So it generally meets that rule. But let's look at the other things. We got the property tax being 138. And I'll have this in the show notes for you so you can take a look at these numbers. The property tax at 138, insurance at 90. These are the monthly amounts. The property management fee, 133. The mortgage, 406. Vacancy at 10%, 133. Repairs at 5%, 67. So total expenses, 967. So if we take the total income, okay, which I mentioned, it was the monthly rent of 1,325, subtract the 967, and you come up with a monthly cash flow of 358, which is really good. That is really good for a single family home. You know, generally, if you can get two, it's 200 is good. I think that these numbers are pretty good. And then again, we got the cap rate at 9.7, cash on cash at 17.97, which are great, you know, great returns on both of those. It looks like a pretty good deal, right? You know, you're pocketing $358 a month in cash flow. I mean, that's really good. And if you don't have any vacancies or repairs, you know, you could be taking $558 a month home. And so these are really good numbers. The cap rate of 9.7, you know, again, is a good return. Cash on cash return, 17.97. Not only the returns great, but the tenants, you know, if you can get the tenants under a, you know, 2-year lease or a 3-year lease, which I'm really pushing for in some of my properties, I mean, you really score, because you really don't start making money until your second year. I mean, you really don't. The renewal is worth its weight in gold there. So that is it for today. I got at least a rough idea how you can make some quick calculations on your own on a napkin or a piece of paper. You can go to our website and get the 3-minute rental property analyzer. It's free, so you can download it. There's also a PDF that explains how to use it, and that can help you in doing your analysis as well. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.